하나가 Here comes 하나가 So much 하나가 To celebrate 하나가 하나가 is The festival of lights Instead of one day of presents We have eight crazy nights
Let's crack it.
Some of my favorite beers have some earthy stank stuck on.
As long as it's not a metallic any longer.
Blah, 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 blah. I want my beer, damn it.
Beer Coaster Podcast. It's for your learning.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast 2012. A weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. And every once in a while, but hardly ever anymore, but sometimes from other people that are new to the show, a while in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Crazy Dave in Temecula, California. And with me this week is...
Mike in Boston, Massachusetts, also known as, at least this week, the Rabbi of Roasted Roastiness.
Yeah!
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes. So today, is it? No, it was yesterday, or I don't know, but sometime it's not today because it's Friday, week. But it's right. This week, and it's going on, and people are lighting candles everywhere, so it must be Hanukkah time.
Yeah, Hanukkah time.
So
is it with an H or with a C? Can never remember.
It depends. It's spelled both ways. If it's spelled with a C, then I think there's like an extra N, and if it's spelled with an H, there's an extra K. It's really kind of confusing.
Okay.
So, well, anyhow, this is the Hoppy Hanukkah episode.
Hoppy Hanukkah.
We are changing it up a little bit this week. We're not doing our fermentation conversation up front because...
There's a reason for that.
Because it's a big... effing beer. So you know, being that, you know, you should probably drink big effing beers after you have some lighter beers, you know, we decided to switch things around. So before we get to what we are going to be drinking, what are you going to be drinking, Toby?
Well, first I guess we should say that all of these are from the Schmaltz Brewing Company, or the Hebrew beers. That's all the beers we're trying this week. So
what a coincidence, we're doing our Hanukkah show and we're doing Hebrew beers.
You
We're
got
so
it.
Predictable.
I mean, I think
you know
I think...
what is a coincidence though that was really funny is our fermentation conversation beer was actually by coincidence.
It totally was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was because when I was deciding which ones I was going to get, I didn't know if I was going to get one of the other that Toby had, and I chose one, and then Crazy Dave gave me a text, hey, you doing the Hebrew show? I got these two beers. And it just happened to be that we all had one of the same beer. And that beer was the Jubilation Sweet 16. So it's their 16th anniversary beer. And it's 16% alcohol. And that's why we're doing it at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's more than most wines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. We're starting to get into like hard alcohol territory there.
I know. Yeah. Well, for my tasting flight beer this week, I will be doing the Origin, which is a pomegranate imperial amber.
Beer.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you read the history, it doesn't sound that chicky to me.
Yeah.
Pomegranate. Is there a cheeky. Sigh or...
Is there a sigh? For my tasting flight beer, I'm going to try the Rejuvenator.
Oh, Rejuvenator. Get to the chopper.
So is that like if you've been like a bad Jew, you drink that and all of a sudden you're back to being a good Jew? Is that like how Catholics like go to like their confession? Jews just drink the Rejuvenator?
I think if you drink this, you're
converted. I need to be rejuvenated. Please help me, Rabbi.
Poof, you're a Jew again.
Just go to the deli and get some f***ing pastrami and drink this beer and you'll be all good.
What's your tasting flight going to be, Dave?
Wow. I'm going to be drinking Lenny's Bittersweet Reaper, the rye IPA.
Nice.
I think we lost all of our Jewish listeners.
if we had any.
You know, I did go to the deli today for lunch, though.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know if what you guys are up to, but I'm gonna jump into my tasting flight beer here.
All right, let's go.
All right, cool.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
This is Mike from Boston, and I'm going to try Hebrews Rejuvenator. It is from Smaltz Brewing Company out of... Oh, actually, this is kind of a bi-coastal brewery. This one that I have beers. Is from Saratoga Springs, New York, but there's also a brewery in San Francisco, California.
From coast to coast, y'all!
That's right. This is a true coast-to-coast show. Even though we're only doing one brewery.
Even though we don't have Art Bell.
That was just so meta. Okay, so the Rejuvenator. This is an interesting beer. Their website is, I forgot to say it, it's smaltzbrewing.com. They've been brewing since 1996. This beer is half Doppelbock and half Belgian-style double. And they brew it with Concord grape juice.
Concord, great. That's like Manischewitz.
Manischewitz. It says it's not your grandpa's Manischewitz. the ABV on this beer is 8.2. I don't have the IBUs. I'm going to crack it and list the bunches of ingredients.
Hey, Mike, is there a year on that beer?
Is there a year on the beer?
Because I just Googled up the Hebrew Rejuvenator, and it showed like year of the grape, year of the fig, year of the date. You know, like there's different years.
Yeah. This one, I'm not sure. This one does say brewed and bottled in New York, though. Born and based in San Francisco. I'm looking for a year. I can't find it on this particular bottle.
Okay.
And I think the last year was 2010 for this beer, though.
That's the last one that I see, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, there's a 10 on the bottom of the glass bottle. Like, there's an impression of a 10. So I'm assuming it's a... Okay. 2010. I'm going to crack it. Now, for malts, they use two-row specialty malts, Munich malt, two types of dark crystal malt, and the Kara Vienna malts. Yeah, those are the...
Actually, Mike, I answered my own question here, because you said it was the year of the grape on the front of it, right?
No, it doesn't say that. It's got... Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, Year of the Grape.
Year of the Grape, so it's 2010. I guess in the different last couple of years, they just think they had different labels and different stuff for the different whatever they are. Yeah. So
this for hops, they use Warrior, U.S. Goldings, Cascade, Amarillo, and Mount Hood. For yeast, this one's interesting to me. They use lager yeast, and they use Trappist ale yeast as well as Abbey ale yeast.
Wow.
And like we mentioned before, Concord grape juice. And there is a ridiculous amount of Concord grape juice, I guess, that they use to brew this.
You know, I like Concord grape. Like, if that's the jelly I'm going to put on my toast, that's going to be it. You know?
Let's see. It's orange. I had like very orange? Little head. I had a pinky finger, dissipated really quickly. There's some lacing around the glass, but it's just a thin film on top. It is almost kind of an apple cider color. Light shines through it. It's a bit cloudy. Doesn't appear to be any sediment or anything in here, but it's definitely cloudy. But it's very translucent because the light's shining through kind of, you know, each side of the glass.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah. What he said.
So shine bright.
So... Yeah. On the nose, sweet fruits and flowers.
Ooh, it's fruity.
And, you know, I get that grape jelly.
Yeah, there you go. Put it on some toast.
For sure. I like Welch's.
Are you going to pair this with a marble rye?
It's some big...
Or some challah.
Challah. I love challah bread. That stuff is so good.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's like a egg bread.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they make like a long thing of it, right?
They like have a different loaf, but yeah, it's usually kind of a big loaf. And sometimes
yeah.
they do
yeah,
the braid.
Yeah, it's twisted, like a twisty. Thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one of my, I think one
yeah,
of Don's
yeah,
friends
the twisting
is
thing. Yeah, yeah.
I think one of Don's friends is Jewish, and he brought this over like this time of the year last year. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess some bread. I love carbs, you know, so I'll eat it all up.
There's also like a very light kind of caramel in there. But it's amazing how much grape, like a grape jelly, is kind of coming through.
Huh.
And it does. It smells more like a grape jelly than a grape juice.
Yeah, the grape juice is more astringent, whereas the grape jelly is more sweet.
Yeah. Take a sip, Mazel Tov. Grape jelly and some hops. There's a little bit of toasted maltiness in there. Maybe even like a little bit of maybe molasses.
So much
lighter than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be big. You know, when I see all the malts and all the hops and all the different yeast, I expected this to be kind of a really big, big bold beer. And it's actually surprisingly very drinkable, but it's got a big grape flavor to it.
Huh. A grape beer, huh?
Yeah.
Now I kind of wish I found that beer.
Well, 2 years ago, you might have.
I wonder if it's a lot more sweet now because you've had it sitting around for a while.
Now, if anything, it usually mellows out over time. Right? Well, they like some when of the beers usually sit, they kind of get a little more.
Yeah, but how much alcohol was in that beer? It's like 8% something,
8.2,
right?
8.2, yeah.
That's pretty hefty, and a lot of times those higher alcohol beers kind of get that sweetness coming around after a while.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised it wouldn't be bigger, considering, you know, all the different yeasts that they use. It just seemed to me like it was going to be a bigger beer.
Uh-huh.
But it's really kind of the drinkability of it's kind of
high.
I mean, yeah, it's lighter. It's got...
Is it chuggable?
It's got a strange... Yeah, it is chuggable, but it's got a strange kind of flavor. It's kind of not your average... Like, you could tell somebody that this is some kind of, I don't know, like, fruit-based alcoholic drink without telling them it's beer. And they could, you know... But if you say, hey, this is, like, grape-flavored beer, they'd probably turn them off, but...
Like, here, I mixed some Manny Schweditz with some, you know, some Coke or whatever, and added a shot of Kahlua and vodka. And, here you go, try it.
If I'm going to pair this one with something, I'm thinking we'll go with potato latkes. 'Tis the season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potato what?
The little potato pancakes there that you get at like around the season. Right? Do they do that for Hanukkah, or is that some other Jewish holiday?
I think it's just a regular... Yeah. Jewish dish, the latkes, I think.
Latkes?
Maybe not.
Potato latkes.
Yeah. So, if you get a chance, check this one out. I know this is a limited release. You may or may not find it on the shelf with the rest of the Hebrew beers. But, let's see. A Beer Advocate users rate this an 82, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom have not tried this beer.
And did you untap it?
I'm untapping it right now if you guys want to rattle off the...
What year was it? 2010?
Yes.
Yeah, the Hebrew Rejuvenator from 2010, Year of the Grape, came in at 3.41 out of 5 with 168 ratings. So, wow. Somebody just drank this 2 hours ago.
There you go.
Well, I just drank it 2 minutes ago.
Yes. So there. So Mike's review is more relevant.
Yeah.
The top place to drink this is at the Common Table in Dallas, Texas.
I'm more relevant, damn it.
In Texas?
Yeah, I wonder if Chris has been there. The Common Table.
I hope I spelled...
I don't know.
I hope I spelled L'chaim right. Maybe I'll get some backwash on that.
That's okay. I still have my Sibian up for my untapped avatar.
Yeah. And we'll be back right after this.
You know, Drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, and Toby's here to drink us some beer now.
Yes, for my Hebrew beer this week, for my Hanukkah, it is the Origin. And it is a pomegranate ale. It's actually an imperial amber ale brewed with luscious pomegranate juice.
Are you sure it's saying a she-brew? Yeah.
No. You're funny.
No.
This crazy game guy is funny. Comes in at 8.0% ABV. I am going to crack it.
That's a good get the girls effed up kind of a beer. Like, oh, look at this pomegranate beer. You're going to love this.
Yeah.
Have two of them.
It's what do you call it? What do pomegranates have that quality to them?
Those big ass seeds?
No, the antioxidant.
Antioxidants, yeah. But they got those seeds, and it stains the hell out of everything it touches. And Dawn gets them all the time, and she makes
it's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, you got to open them up.
We have a pomegranate tree in the back, and
there's like tiny little piece of fruit surrounded by this big seed.
Yeah.
Seed.
So it pours out. Oh, I gotta tell you the ingredients. For malts, I use 2-row, caramel 30-40, dark crystal, Munich, dark Munich, and wheat. The hops are Warrior, Centennial, Cascade, Willamette, Crystal, and Mount Hood. And they use 10,000 pomegranates for each batch. And the pomegranate symbolizes righteousness.
God, I hate to be the guy that had to prepare all of those.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the story goes, I guess when these guys were homebrewing in San Francisco, they did the same beer, but they used 1,000 pomegranates per batch or whatever. So now in this one,
then they had to scale it up.
Yeah, now they're up to 10,000 with their batches now, and It says on their website that this beer is in celebration of their 20 years, but they've been around since 96. So maybe they mean their home brewing started 20 years ago. So anyway. So it pours out a good copper color. A little bit more of a lighter orange. I guess it's not too dark of a copper, but not cloudy. It's very clear. Nice carbonation. I got about a finger of head still hanging out. And there's hints of orange or hints of pink, kind of like a peach color, I guess, when you move it around.
Is it not very red, or is it?
No, it's not. It's not really red. It's more of like orange with like some pinkish hues to it. But on the nose,
man, Mike is hiccuping like a mother over there, dude.
Yeah,
pick up on some fruit. A little bit of crackery malt in there. It's not super fruity on the nose. It's just a little bit. Slightly fruity. More of like a crackery malt. There's a little bit of stank. It smells like...
Like pomegranate?
No.
Like a chick drink?
No, it's not really aromatic. Like the fruits aren't really standing out. Only a little bit.
Dude, you know what's crazy about Hebrew beers is they actually bust out their recipe sheets for these. Like, they can tell you exactly what they put in this beer. Yeah. They put in like 15.43 pounds of, you know, Warrior hops, and
that's cool. You could try different clones of some of the beers. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they even give you like the target temperatures that they're hitting, and you know, how much pomegranate juice was added, and.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I like about Deschutes is they actually have homebrew clones, recipes for some of their beers. Like, so they scale it down to a 5-gallon batch for you. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're not scaling this down. Yeah. apparently I got to buy a Whirlpool and, I don't know, about 100 pounds of hops.
And don't forget the 10,000 pomegranates.
Yeah.
Well, that and the 144 barrel kettle.
Yeah, there's a weird, malty stank on the nose. It almost smells almost like Bock-ish, not really lagery, but more of like a dark, maybe it's the wheat that's coming out, maybe the dark Munich malts or something, but it does have a kind of German smell to it. I'm taking a sip. Almost like a Doppelbock kind of smell.
Taking a sip, Mazel Tov!
It finishes bitter and a slight sourness. And there is a kind of fruity bitterness, almost like a pithy kind of bitterness in there. And it has a... It starts off a little sweet, but then it quickly changes to this like bitter dryness, astringency, with little hints of... I guess it's the pomegranate. There is a little bit of a sweet fruitness in there.
I mean, if someone handed that to you and say, this is an Imperial Amber with some brewed with some fruit, would you getting that or no?
It does. It feels Imperial in the sense that it does have a big mouthfeel and it's borderline sipper, but you are left with that very, like... There's a lot of malt, but it's not thick on the tongue. It's not thick mouthfeel. It's just dry, bitter, astringent. It doesn't really feel like the alcohol is there. It doesn't feel like an 8% beer. Yeah, the fruitiness comes out more on the nose, and I know the nose is very subtle, so there's like very little of like a sweet fruitiness. But there are hints of, I mean, that German malt is really, really stands out in this.
You sound confused.
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it does sound a little confusing.
It's not bad. It's just astringent, like very astringent. But not from like hops. It's not like a hoppy bitterness. It's weird. It's like pithy. It's,
well, I mean, some fruits have that bitterness. Yeah. Like apples have that pectiny,
like your teeth are dry kind of thing.
Yeah, it dries your mouth up and stuff, sure.
It's kind of like that. Or like when you bite into like a grape seed or something, you know how you get that real astringent bitterness. It's kind of like that. For a food pairing, I would have to go with... I would say like maybe a chicken salad type thing, or I wouldn't go spicy, yeah. And I wouldn't really go sweet, so it would have to be something like maybe maybe Asian food, maybe like just straight up Chinese food, like some noodles and
but not orange chicken.
No. nothing real sweet or spicy, something middle of the road. But noodles, I think, would be good. You know, like the chow mein noodles with some vegetables in there and stuff like that. I think in some, like, fried rice with eggs and pork.
Chicken chow mein?
Yeah.
It's kind of a bland food.
Yeah, I mean, I just think if you were to go with something sweet, it would make this beer even more bitter. And I think that if you went with something spicy... I just think that the bitterness in this wouldn't really work with something spicy. But
spicy.
Cool. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of tough. It actually has some good flavors. I mean, it's if you like that kind of...
Are you trying to save it here and redeem it?
No, but just thinking like tasting the aftertaste and everything.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 81, which is good, and the Brothers Ahlstrom gave it a 73, which is average.
And it's pretty much what's untapped is coming through at a 3.2 out of 860 ratings, so that's
about
average, good.
Yeah, it's actually not that many ratings. I consider, because, I mean, the origin, that one has been around from Hebrew for quite some time.
Uh-huh. It was created on Untappd 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Untappd only started about 2 years ago.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. We did the 4 years of the show, or we're at 4.5 years now, and I just got my 500 badge on Untappd. I can't imagine, you know, what it would be if we did it when we started the show.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I didn't join Untappd until January of 2011.
Yeah.
So I've only been doing it for two years now.
I'm not even gonna talk about what I got. I've been on. I joined November 2011, and I've only had 100 beers since then.
What? You gotta get on the ball, fool.
Yeah, I don't always untap all the Coronas I drink, you know.
You get the usual badge. All right. So there you have it. That is the Origin Pomegranate Ale from Hebrew/Schmaltz Brewing.
Cool. And we'll be right back after we pay these bills.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast, and don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, everybody, it's my turn to drink some beer.
Time to L'chaim in.
Turn to L'chaim in.
Shalom. Mazel tov. I'm actually real excited about this.
That's pretty much the extent of our...
Our Jewishosity.
Jewishness? Oh, wait. When I was in college, I took a class, actually a series of five classes that dealt with literature from ancient to modern times, but it centered mostly around religious documents. So we were reading, all these, these old Greek myths or whatever. And then it came into the time of Christianity. So we were reading, the Torah, and we were reading, the New Testament and the Quran, and and then we started getting into modernity and postmodernity. But because of all that, we had to learn, a little bit about, a lot about Jewish stuff. So we were learning how the names of God are Elohim and Yahweh and all the different spellings and, I threw in a couple more, Jewish words there. But anyhow, the next thing I'm going to be doing here that's somewhat Jewish is drinking the Hebrew, the chosen beer, bittersweet Lenny's Ripa.
Ripa!
Again, since we know these guys are all out of San Francisco and Saratoga, I won't have to mention that again. But this one, I'm really excited because they kind of got a dirty theme about this. They got these signs I don't know, that look like you can be outside of a strip club or something. but they have that it's brewed with an obscene amount of malt and hops. It says here that warning contains explicit adult material, 21 and up. So I'm like, it's adult nature theme. There's something about some sort of obscenity, and yeah.
Yeah, I don't know and what then, the like, background on this beer is now. I'm curious. Let's find out, shall we?
Well, I think there's no better way than to actually open up, crack it, and try it.
There you go.
So, yeah.
That's what we were waiting for.
Malt varieties. There are two row Fawcett rye malts, G&P torrefied rye, Fawcett crystal.
Oh, torrefied.
Fawcett crystal rye, Canada wheat, MFB kiln amber, Weisenheimer Cara 6080.
Dude, this has some malts I have never heard of. A lot of.
And the hop varieties are Warrior Cascade, Simcoe, Amarillo Crystal, Chinook, and Grand Caraway. And this thing has a monster head. I mean, it's just boom. Look at that. smells like a beer. Like, oh, it's really, I'm getting a lot of maltiness. Like,
we're making a beer or
something.
This looks like this is a shout out to Lenny Bruce.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, looks like it.
Who's Lenny Bruce?
The comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Is he Jewish?
Yes.
There we go. Wow, this actually has fruity. I get maltiness, but it's kind of like apple-y, like a sweet apple kind of a smell. A little bit of grapiness too. This is weird because, you know, thinking that this is a rye IPA, like I would think that there'd be some pepperiness, but I'm not really getting that peppery kind of smells. It's more floral or more fruity than peppery or.
Taking a sip, muzzle top.
This beer's dirty.
I think it's supposed to be.
No, I mean it's really, really, really dirty. I'm
almost positive I've had this beer before.
Wow.
Have you had it on the show, Mike?
I can't find it, but I could have sworn I've done it before.
Well, if you can't find it in the search bar at beercoasterspodcast.com, it doesn't exist on beercoasterspodcast.com.
I know.
You ain't done it.
I guess not. I'm going to try Googling it. Lenny's Rip of Beer Coasters, bitch.
Yeah, no, it's interesting though, because it's not like some of the other rye IPAs that I've had. It's got a sweetness to it that just seems to not really belong, but it's got that rye kind of a cut to it, you know, that edge that gives it that dirtiness, that
sharp pepperiness. I'm not a big fan of rye beers.
This is not a very rye-y, peppery kind of beer. I mean, it has a little bit of that cut, but like I said, it's big. It just coats your entire mouth with the maltiness, and I don't know. Maybe I had one that's been sitting around for a while. But it's got a nice sweet. It's got a really nice little sweetness to it, though. This is definitely food friendly. God, I really want to be bad and pair this with some pork.
Yeah, I don't think we could do that. I think there's rules against that.
No, but I mean, something that I think this would go good with would be something pineapple-y, you know?
Like a Hawaiian pizza?
So just substitute with chicken and we're all set.
Well, whoever puts chicken on a Hawaiian pizza...
Jewish people. I don't know.
Hawaiian Jews now.
I've tried other.
There they go.
I can't find this beer on our show, so this may be the first time. I've done a couple. I did the Jubilation Bar Mitzvah one there. What was the crazy one?
I really don't want to be an asshole, but I mean this. I think this would really go good with a glazed ham, like a honey glazed ham.
All right.
Okay. You know, because I mean the hams do go good with that edgy kind of, you know, clove kind of spice, you know. But with this rye is so subdued, you know, that I think it would go good with just a good honey roasted. Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Crazy Dave. You can just drink the Rejuvenator afterwards and you'll be all good.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. That's a good idea.
That's what I'm doing right now.
So
I'm feeling like I need it just from listening to Dave.
Well, so anyhow, while I'm untapping this, you guys want to hit up the ratings?
Sure.
How about you do some ratings there, Toby?
Untapped has the Bittersweet Lenny's Ripa at a 3.77 out of 2,723 ratings.
Whoa. The Beer Advocate users rate this a 90, which is exceptional. And the Brothers Ahlstrom, they give it a 99, which is world class.
What?
crazy.
Wow.
They also, Beer Advocate lists this as a double IPA, which is interesting.
Okay.
It's a Dripa?
Yeah.
Well, well, you know what? The bottle actually does say that. It does say double.
Dripa.
It does say Dripa. Double IPA.
Sounds so gross.
Got a bad case of the Dripa.
It's like...
that's enough.
Dude,
let me show you my drip, drip, drip from my mushroom dip.
What's crazy about so far, the two Hebrew beers I've looked at on Untappd, the top places are in Texas. This one, the top five places to drink Lenny's Ripa are all in Texas. The top place is the Flying Saucer in Addison, Texas, which I think
could be just because it's on tap right now. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It could be this time of year, you know, and it's popular.
It's 11. It doesn't say a double India Pale Ale with rye malt brewed in tribute to Lenny Bruce, Leonard Alfred Schneider from 1925 to 1966. There you go, folks.
There you go.
You heard it here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
I'm going to look at this comedian now.
I think you'd like him, Dave. I really do.
Yeah. Maybe I have heard him, you know. Who knows? But anyhow, so that's the bittersweet Lenny's Ripa from Schmaltz Brewing or Hebrew
Schmaltz.
Chosen beers. So wait, did I mention that this was conceived in San Francisco and brewed in New York?
Yes,
it was conceived in San Francisco and born in New York.
Mine was and born brewed. And based, and then brewed and bottled. Hmm. Okay,
well there we go. Hey, let's drink some. We got some hot topics.
Got some hot topics
coming up next. Tibbies. Some tibbies. Yeah.
So, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, awesome. America.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
All right, it's the Tibbies! The Hot Topics! The topic is of heat. Well,
topic.
If you all go to the website, www.beercoasterspodcast.com, up on the upper right-hand corner, there's a little place where you can go that says Toby's Brew Page.
Brews Paper.
No.
Brews Paper. So anyhow, we picked an article out of there today that we thought was kind of funny.
Toby's Brew Page.
Toby's Brew Page.
Brews Paper.
What do you think? We do a blog?
Sort of.
Well, I mean, you know.
Audio blog.
Audio blog. You know, we social network and, you know, we talk about stuff and we write stuff down. And,
okay, come on. Let's go.
So anyhow, craft brewing reawakens in Japan. Apparently, Japan's got a story kind of similar to the United States, where they've got three big brewers that make their, you know, wonderful lagers that pretty much all taste the same. And they had legislation that actually pretty much made it impossible for craft brewers or small breweries to pop up.
Wow.
But in the late 90s, I guess that all changed, or sometime in the 1990s, that all changed. And so they're starting to pop up now. So this article talks a little bit about one of those stories. It's a Hitachino Nest. And then, you know, some of these Japanese breweries are starting to make IPAs and stuff. And one thing they do say about them is that they're not like some of the big, bald California, you know, hot bombs or whatever. Mm. But they're much more subdued. But so next time you go out and you hit up your local ramen shop, you know, you might be able to pick up some, some new Japanese IPA. So, kind of neat little story just about it. So, you know, check it out, read it. And
yeah, it's pretty interesting. Know.
Yeah, if anybody has ever seen those bottles, they usually have the little owl. It's like a little owl on it. The one, there's a couple that I've seen. I think they do make a sriracha one with sriracha Ace hops, but then they make a red rice beer and a white ale. Make a few of them. I always like to hear, you know, because it was a while back, maybe a couple seasons ago, where we had talked about Italy becoming really interested in American craft beer, and there was a big rise in craft beer in Italy. And
yeah,
where, you know, I mean, kind of wine is king there, but there was a big interest with some of the younger folks there coming up with they were really into American craft beer and started to make an Italian craft beers, which I haven't tried any, and I haven't heard of any, you know, that have gotten over here, but I'd be curious to see how that is progressing in Italy.
Well, I'm sure it's got to be, you know, just it's probably a little hard to get it, you know, distributed on a worldwide scale.
Yeah. I'm smelling another world tour coming up.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about Italy. We were talking about somewhere else. Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
South Pacific.
Yeah.
Flying south for the winter. What's up, Island Girls? Right. How you doing? I'm Crazy Dave. What's your name?
So where can our listeners find stories like this?
I already told you, man. Just go to the Brews Paper.
Top, but this story in particular this week.
Well, yeah. That particular story came from the Washington Post.
That'll be in our Hot Topic section. We'll post that, and you can check it out on the website.
Fail.
They're trying to drop all these hints, and I'm
we'll be back
failing
right
epically.
After this.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. Gonna drink some beer, yeah. This is a fermentation conversation, yeah.
Oh, time to jubilate.
Let's get some jubilation. We've been rejuvenated.
Yeah.
We've been,
we've
had some bittersweetness.
We've gone back to the origin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time.
And now it's time to jubilate.
Time to jubilate.
I'm going to jubilate. Yeah.
All right. So what is this beer that we're drinking?
Oh, so this is the 16th anniversary for Hebrew. And they went big with it. It's all about cupcakes and unicorns. It's kind of a confusing label because it's pink.
It looks
and
a lot like Crazy Dave's bedroom.
Light brew.
I was going to say, it looks like your wallpaper.
Yeah.
Or your
trying
bed
to get
sheet.
The 16-year-old girls, you know, to show up in my room, you know. Oh.
What's that?
But,
I hear sirens in the background.
No, but this beer is, it's all about 16. It's got 16 malts. It's got 16 hops. It's 16% beer. It's 16, you know, year anniversary.
It comes with an iPhone, you know, and an attitude. And it, for some reason, it keeps asking for my car keys.
Is it talking back to you, Mike?
Constantly.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, this, you know, same brewery. We got the whole Schmaltz Brewing Hebrew thing going on here.
Yep. Bicoastal.
Bitch. You know, on my bottle and Toby's bottle, we both got these from the West Coast. So they do say California edition. What does it say on yours, Mike?
Where does yours say California edition?
Right there.
Right there.
Oh.
What is your?
It's covering the sweet part of the 16.
Oh well, yeah. Mine just actually says sweet 16. There's
covering. Well, there you go.
So we got the blonde girl version of this.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nice.
I wonder if it's any different.
We got the surfer chick version.
Now on the bottom, does it say Smaltz in Saratoga Springs, New York, or does it say San Francisco?
Yes, it says Saratoga.
Okay.
Well, I was looking at the bottom, like so right there.
It ain't really California now, is it?
I don't know.
All right.
I wonder what the difference is. I wonder, does Untappd have a California?
I think yours
edition?
Has like avocado in it. Something.
Yeah.
It's got everything else in it, which
I know, huh?
We're gonna try to find this to list them all.
You know, I didn't even put it up there. I didn't even list it just because it's too many. But
oh, who are you to decide what's too many, huh?
Oh, you guys complain every time I start rattling off like blah 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 blah.
I tell you what, you crack it, and I'll rattle off the malts, and Toby can rattle off the hops.
Okay.
All right, you just cracked it. Oh, okay. I guess I got to crack it too.
All right, I'm done cracking
specialty
it.
Specialty Two Row, Vienna, Munich, wheat, chocolate, crystal rye, dark crystal, rye, roasted barley, flaked quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah,
quinoa.
Quinoa, sorry.
This is definitely the California version.
Roasted wheat, flaked oats, Cara Munich 40, Cara Pilsner, which I've never heard said that way, and then kilned amber.
Dang. Wow.
Hops,
it's
Toby?
Dark.
Yeah.
Really dark.
You got the hops? All right, Toby doesn't have the hops, so I'll read the hops.
I don't have the hops.
Willamette, Golding, Palisades, Tetnang, Crystal, Anthem, Columbus, Zithos, Cascade, Centennial, Apollo, Simcoe, Summit, Citra, and Amarillo.
Did you get all 16?
I did.
Sweet.
You know, they've got a lot of time. Like, some of these hops are on there for 240 minutes.
Oh, wow.
256
oh,
minutes.
Oh, whoa. I guess you can't. I assume because it was Mike so big in alcohol that
there's going to be no head?
Yeah. And so I poured a bit aggressively, and that was stupid.
I started off with about a Yeti, and now I'm down to about a half finger.
I got a Yeti thumb right now.
Dude, my Yeti finger is just sticking, dude. It's not going anywhere. You know, that's pretty bad. I mean, because he comes up on a 16-year-old or something. It's, oh, my God.
Look at that. That's a Yeti thumb.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
That's almost a Yeti fist.
So it's very dark. It's
a Yeti fist.
A
that wouldn't
head.
Even fit in the glass here. It'd be all head, no beer.
It's
dude, this
no. There's you, very I little can, highlights.
You could float something on this head, man. It's so fluffy.
Wow. It's pretty much black with some little bit of like tan highlights.
It's a chocolatey color.
Yeah.
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 Rich, light, rich, deep brown. Definitely. Almost black, but really rich, rich, deep brown.
Yeah.
I get some light kind of shining through. You can see some brown on the bottom.
I'm like, how are you getting light shining through? Mine's not shining through at all.
Well, I got a bright white screen here. I just get just a haze through the bottom. And
yeah,
a
just
bit
a
brown.
Little tiny sliver of highlight.
Yeah, kind of like at the edge of the glass.
On the nose, alcohol.
Wow. And all kinds of maltiness and fruitiness and...
There's a
I'm getting more caramely sugary than malty.
There's a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah.
But
first whiff, I got
rubbing alcohol with the first whiff.
Oh yeah.
And then now that there's more of like chocolatiness is starting to come out, a little bit of roastiness.
It's got a nice chocolatey smell to it. I mean, it's caramely chocolatey. It's like it's not a hard roast. It's like a nice smooth roast,
dude. You know? I'm even getting
some toffee.
Oh, what is that?
Maybe there's maybe a hint. There's like some smokiness. Might be some smokiness in there. Oh, there's all kinds of
it's
stuff
like,
here.
It's I mean, like great.
I'm getting fig. This is insane.
Ooh, now,
What is that?
Figure it out, man.
There's this one aroma, and it's almost like a green grape.
No, I'm not getting that.
No. But lots of alcohol.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of alcohol right there. Oh. Damn.
Some chocolate. Man, there's all kinds of stuff in the aroma.
Taking a sip, Mazel Tov.
Dude, alcohol, chocolate, licorice, coffee.
A little porty.
Yeah. At first, there was a really strong it's dark smooth. Fruit, like fig or plum or something in the beginning. And the aftertaste is really roasty.
Almost like a brandy kind of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
With some...
Wow.
Big malty powdery...
Dude, the mouthfeel is like viscous, dude.
It's so creamy.
It's super thick and...
Very thick and creamy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, very creamy. You're right. But lots of licorice.
God, the flavors just don't stop with this. I mean, it's just like one after another after another. I bet there's 16 of them. I mean...
I don't know if I could pick out all 16 of anything here, but there's a lot of flavors.
This thing is the chocolate destroy. Though. Just
if I didn't know better, I would say this was like a chocolate milk stout or something because the chocolate just seems to be dominating.
Wow, lots of alcohol warming now too.
Yeah, I got
a nice quite warm a bit of feeling warming. In the chest. Whoa, this is like big.
We were
dude.
Doing the math here, and it's drinking this 22-ounce bottle. Is almost the equivalent of drinking like 8 macrobrewery beers like in a row.
How many? You know?
8.
8.
Yeah, I still have some nasty hiccups.
Wow.
I'm definitely glad that we did this beer second.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way this could have been done first.
Yeah.
Well, we had to. I mean, it's 16. It's crazy. I mean, even some of the BrewDog beers. I don't think we've done one this high, have we?
Well, no, we did. What was that Utopias that Chris brought out?
Oh yeah, that was 20%.
But that's a whole different thing. I mean, that was like sipping like a liquor or liqueur or something. Whereas this, I mean, you can still tell it's a beer. You know, it's not on the liquor-y, you know, winey kind of side of things. I mean, it's still fundamentally a beer, you know, and it tastes like a beer. You could tell it's a beer. It's got head. Everything about it is a beer. It just happens to be a big damn beer.
You know,
this girl grew up, though, man, I'll tell you what.
I've never had the older viscosity from port, but I would imagine it would be something like this because the old viscosity... This reminds me of that. I mean, I know the old viscosity is more of like an American strong ale, but this, it just has that certain, I don't know, something about it that reminds me of the old viscosity. But this has, like, the flavors in this one are more, like, bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
and more roasty.
You know, brandy marinated raisins in a malt something.
See, but it's not that, mine's not that alcoholy at all.
I'm getting alcohol warming, and
I get the warming the for warming, sure. But
yeah, you can. I pick up the alcohol on the nose big time, but in the flavor, it doesn't really. Just a little bit in the aftertaste, but wow!
Ooh, I know what I want to pair with this.
What's that?
And I know it's sacrilegious and all that, and I'm a heathen, but you know. Gingerbread house, I think, goes really good with this.
Gingerbread house? The whole thing?
Well, you're going to have to eat something with this if you're going to pound down a 22 of it.
I'm going to go with the old standby for a beer like this with like, some vanilla bean ice cream. Or
I think it would destroy the ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, this is creamy by itself, so... Yeah,
that's by itself. This beer is, you know, it's something that can stand on its own.
Yeah, it could. I can't even think of something to pair with this. Besides, I mean, maybe carrot cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe carrot cake.
Birthday cake. Sweet 16 birthday cake.
Yeah. Man, it's big. That's for sure. And yeah. It's got... and there's so much. It's kind of hard to... you can take a sip and kind of pinpoint like a couple different flavors and then have to take another sip. But you still want to take a sip, so that's always good.
Yeah, I want to keep drinking this, you know, but damn, I got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm pairing carrot. For some reason, I want carrot cake with this.
No, I want gingerbread. I think it would be like kind of cookies or mellow it out, snaps
having
or...
that cream cheese frosting, and but still get the like the spice and the carrot with the cake.
Yeah, that's what I think. The spice. I think that kind of spicy, nutmeggy thing, gingery kind of thing would definitely, you know, help cut. I get where you're going with that. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like that cream cheese frosting would be almost like
the balance
cleansing that palate again to kind of take another sip, but still have the spices from the cake and whatnot. I don't know. It just, I'd like to try it sometime. So nice. If any listeners want to send me a carrot cake, send it to P.O. Box.
Too bad you can't just have like an instant carrot cake. Like
we've always talked about that, man. If we get a show, like we want to like rattle off our food pairings and someone's just going to make it for us right there on the spot.
Boom.
And then we can decide whether we were right or wrong.
That'll be the last call. We'd be like eating it and going, oh yeah, this doesn't work at all.
So
cool. Untapped. We need some,
wow. Yeah.
This is a big one.
Let me see if there's a California edition. All I see is just the Sweet 16. Oh, here it is. Sweet 16 Anniversary California Edition. Should we do that? There's only four ratings.
Maybe it's just brewed there.
I think it's just that it's brewed in San Francisco as opposed to
When I looked at Untapped, I only found one when I went to Untapped.
Yeah.
It's down the ways a little bit, and it doesn't have a picture.
Huh. I just typed in Hebrew Sweet 16.
Yeah, we'll just do that one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
they list it as an American Strong.
Yeah, and that's kind of difficult to classify this thing as anything else, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, you know, when we were preparing for the show, it's like, what is this gonna be? You know, it doesn't seem to really fit into anything. I mean, strong, yeah, but
I think that's like the go-to style when you get a beer that's this big and is not really brewed in like a particular.
But you know you know what though? When I hear strong, I always think of like the big monster beers, and I think like loads of hop.
Yeah, yeah, do tend to think super hoppy too.
There was no sense of hops in this at all.
No, not really.
I mean, and there's 16 of them, and there's 256 minutes of it, you know, doing its business up in the, you know, in the brewing.
It's a monster. Okay, Untapped has this at a 3.91 out of 5. That's pretty good. Out of 1,399 ratings. So we will make it 1,402 ratings.
I think any of our Jewish listeners should write into Untapped and be angry that there's no Hanukkah badge.
Yes.
There needs to be because we should be getting one right about now, right?
Seriously.
Because we've had like two different, you know, Hebrews. So Beer Advocate.
We just got one drinker that looks like Ron Jeremy on here.
Nice.
But I'd have to see his face to be sure.
Yeah, so it's coming out at 86, which is good.
Yep.
And the brothers, well, you know, what do we expect for a new beer?
Didn't send them anything. And they certainly aren't going to send them the California edition.
Cool. Loving it.
Cool beans.
Oh, did we even say the website for Hebrew? Since this is the last beer we'll be drinking on the show this week.
Sure, it's schmaltzbrewing.com.
Yep, or you could just get to it by schmaltz.com, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, one of my bottles says schmaltz.com. The other bottle says schmaltzbrewing.com. So whatever. Sure, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can get. I think they have both URLs, I'm pretty sure. So
cool. Schmaltz.
S-M-A-L-T-Z.
We'll be back.
Yep.
After this.
It's the drink of the week.
Cutmus 1K says, committing sacrilege on the first night of Hanukkah by eating at a German restaurant. Hey, the beer is epic. All right, this week's backwash comes from Rick.
Not from the land of the ice and snow, though.
It's a different...
Nope, a different Rick.
Different Rick. And Rick, the subject is pints for prostates. So, Rick...
So, we'll call him Prostates Rick.
There you go.
I don't know if he wants to be known as Prostates
Rick. Well, okay, maybe not. We'll call him...
Rick from...
Yeah.
Pints.
Rick from Pints for Prostates. Yeah, that makes... That
so Rick
better.
Donates his time to the cause, and he gets a ton of support from other volunteers. Breweries and others in the industry have helped him out, including many beer magazines that have donated advertising space. He was just wondering if we might consider running a fun spot that he created for an upcoming show.
Ooh.
His goal is to get men to take charge of their health and talk to their doctor about getting screened. We hope you'll consider joining in this effort, he says. He's also happy to talk about beer and spread the word, so he'd be happy to appear as a show guest.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you won't really appear much. I mean, we can hear you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the very least, we'll try to get him to record kind of his own little promo.
Sure.
That we can play on the show. And I'm not sure what happened, Rick. I don't know if you're going to be listening to the show this week, but... We had the Pints for Prostates link with the Pints for Prostates logo up there for the longest time on the website, and to tell you the truth, I'm not quite sure what happened to it, but by the time this episode comes out on Friday, the Pints for Prostates link will be up there. But yeah, we'd like to have you on the show, or like I said, if you just maybe want to record a promo, we'll reach out to you and...
figure something out.
And see what we can there do. We we'll figure something out.
So in the meantime, we'd ask our listeners to check out pintsforprostates.org for more information.
Yeah, and get your ass checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it seems like there's 30,000 guys a year will die from the disease. And they could have avoided it with, you know, they could have survived with early detection and appropriate treatment. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I think it's more than breast cancer, and it's probably the whole thing with the awareness. I think is a huge reason why that is, because breast cancer awareness is so, so popular now that more women, I think, are.
Yeah, but you know what? I like the idea of Pints for Prostates a lot better than like walking around for like 5K or something.
Yeah, I'd rather drink than run. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're more likely to get a bunch of guys together doing that than you are to get them to go do a walk.
Yeah.
Or a run or whatever it is.
I think there should be pints for a lot of different causes.
Yeah. Pints for boobies. There is the Pints for Boobies one.
Is there a Pints for Prostitutes?
No.
Only,
not yet.
Only in Nevada.
But, hey. No,
Pints
but,
for prostitutes.
Yeah, in all seriousness, we'll reach out to you, Rick, and we'll be a part of this in some way.
We'll get your word out.
Thanks, Rick.
But you know what? It is holidays and people are drinking, so please call and drunk dial or something.
Yeah, man, we gotta really promote. We gotta have a drunk dial promotion.
Hell yeah!
Okay. I think that's the next T-shirt I'm gonna come up with is a drunk dial T-shirt with the beer coasters. Phone number on it.
You're just gonna go hang out at the bar. Toby, you should go to Aces and Ales where you got those. Aces and Ales actually post pictures of guys passing out at the bar.
Are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay.
Last call.
All right. Pause.
Well, that's call. That makes.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Oh, okay. What are we doing last call?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the beers that we drank and give them some ratings. Yeah. And
cool.
Kind of recap what's been going on for the last 45 minutes.
think it's been a lot longer than that.
I was going to say, more like an hour.
We're like yeah. 5 hours.
Right, well, it's well, been an hour.
Three of us, so who's first up?
Mike.
Yeah, well, we'll okay. start with Mike.
So for my... Should I start with the FC or start with my tasting flight?
Oh, yeah. Start with your tasting flight.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to start with the tasting flight. All right. The Rejuvenator. It was drinkable, but it tasted like someone melted grape jelly in my beer, and it was a rather mild beer. I was just hoping for more of this, and I didn't get it.
You were hoping to be rejuvenated. Yes, is what I you wanted were hoping.
To feel that blast of rejuvenation, and
all over your face.
So, I'm not sure what to give this one. There wasn't really enough. Like, basically, it just boils down to disappointment.
This is more like a Catholic theme. I mean, getting sprayed in the face, being disappointed. I mean.
I'm going to give this a 2.5. I don't know much more to say, but I mean, it is drinkable. I mean, I could sit there and sip it and drink it. But
I think Mike is about as disgusted with us as he is with the beer. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably being generous.
I don't know. I can't tell.
I'm being generous with my rating here, as well as my level of disgustedness. So for my fermentation conversation beer, wow. I mean, the Sweet 16, the Jubilation, it's their 16th anniversary beer, 16 malts, 16 hops, 16% alcohol. I mean, this is a big beer, and it had all kinds of flavors and aromas. I liked it a lot, but man, is this, to me, this is a sipper.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm talking, I want like a little kind of tasting glass. And sip like maybe 3, 4, 5 ounces at the most.
Yeah.
And have a friend or two to help you out.
So that I can't give it the full, you know, gold lined 5 pints here. So I'm not going to do that because it's too much of a sipper. So I'm going to knock it down to 4.5.
So are there other beers that you've knocked down because they're sippers versus?
Well, I can kind of see what Mike's getting at. I mean, it's almost too big, which I will note.
I mean, it's because it's not. I'll talk about it when my turn comes.
We're all entitled to our opinions. Well, have our own.
A man
opinions.
Has a right to say what he wants to say about the beer, and but.
So, yeah, I didn't pair anything with gefilte fish, which. It was good this week. I was a little worried about that, but now I'm gonna give it the 4.5. I think it was a tremendously complex beer. I'll give it that. It was big and complex.
All right.
Cool. What you think, Toby?
Well, for the origin, this one was okay. I mean, it has a lot of good German malts in there that give it a very bocky kind of feel to it. The
that funkiness.
It's just that it's. I mean,
bocky.
Yeah, bocky. It's the probably the best description I can give it is it's just bocky with a little bit of fruit in there, just a little bit. So it's not like you're not sipping on a lambic. You're not sipping on. You know, some sort of a sour beer with those like super fruity flavors. This is more of like a German, I want to say Bock, you know, a German Bock with a touch of pomegranate, which is just kind of weird. But, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it's not.
Because I don't think a German's drinking pomegranates, well, you know.
I mean,
it's
Hebrew,
not kind of a fruit that you would want to go with a Bock either.
No.
And or even having fruit with Bocks just doesn't really strike me as.
I was going to say this in the beginning of the show when we were talking, when we were kind of doing the intro and introducing Hebrew and Schmaltz Brewing and stuff, and I wanted to say something about how they kind of go pretty crazy with the ingredients. But it seems to, like, this beer is not unbalanced. It's not, there's nothing really wrong about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's no clashing flavors. It's not gross. It didn't, I mean, it came out as a pretty well-made beer, and I'm sure that they achieved what they were going for, but it's just kind of a weird blend, and it's, you know, and you look at, like, their other beers, like the one Mike had on the show with, what was it, like, there was, like, 100 different ingredients in that one beer you had. It was weird, and they, like, had wine, it was aged in wine barrels or something. What was the one
which
you had,
the,
Mike?
Which one was that? The Funky Jubilation, maybe?
Yeah, Funky Jubilation.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the list of ingredients, you're like, dude, this is insane. This sounds like a mishmash. Like, how do they even come up with these
ideas?
How
do they get put together?
Right, how do they even put this together? And you're going to brew a beer with all this crazy stuff? But then they do, and they bottle it, so it's obviously working, I mean, to their standards. And then you look at the Jubilation. So anyway, the Origin, I'm going to give it a 3, because I think it has some decent flavors, and I think it's drinkable, and it's interesting. It's not bad. It's not a bad beer. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of weird to think of, yeah, I mean, to think of, like, all those German wheats with or all those German malts with pomegranate. Just kind of weird. But anyway, so 3. And for the Funky Jubilation, or for the, sorry, for the Jubilation Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I'm kind of right there with Mike on not going the full 5. I think it is definitely not perfect, but still awesome. But my one thing is,
thank you for saying that.
If you were to sit on this for about a year,
we haven't had that tagline for a long time.
I think that this would turn out to be an excellent, even more. I think in about a year from now, it's a 5-piner. But you definitely have to sit down with a few friends, pour the small samples, the 5 8-ounce glasses, have everybody share and sip on it after dinner. You know, I think it's one of those beers that's...
So let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Age bottle, well, speaking, Dave.
You know, geez. Hebrew, I think, is known for
a month?
A little,
for a year.
A little crazy with their blends of, you know, whether they're brewing one beer with a whole bunch of malts and a whole bunch of hops. You mentioned that Funky Jubilation. Well, that was actually a blend of 6 different beers.
Yeah,
that were had all individually aged in different, like, either whiskey barrels or bourbon barrels. So I think Hebrew kind of has this thing where they like to blend basically a shitload of stuff and kind of see what comes out. And to me, sometimes it comes out like that, you know, you go to the soda fountain when you're a kid and you kind of hit each flavor and mix them all. Well, I think sometimes
see,
it just doesn't work out.
See, I don't think that happened
so
with this beer.
Sometimes it's just a little too much Mountain Dew.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or a little too much Diet Coke that you accidentally put in there or something. I don't know.
See,
sometimes they hit it on the head, and sometimes you can really pick these things out. You can pick out all the different flavors, and then other times, man, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And with this one, I think it is. It has a lot of great flavors.
You think it's a mess?
No.
No, oh,
okay. I think
no,
that
I'm
it's great.
Some,
I think
some you can pick out. Like,
yeah, sometimes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's a mess.
So 4.5, dude, Dave, 4.5 is nothing to scoff at, my man.
Like you said, it's...
You both are crazy.
It's not perfect, but it's still awesome. And that...
Amazing. And I think I definitely recommend... Rating. I recommend aging this, because I think in a year, I think it'll be even better.
I'd wait 2 years because then it's legal and then you don't have to worry about nothing.
Yeah, you can hit it all night long and just tear it up. Come here, girl. Lay down.
Dude, we are dirty.
Dirty.
We're some dirty old men on this podcast.
What do you mean? I'm not dirty. I waited 2 years. You guys are talking about 16-year-olds.
Speaking of dirty, my Reaper that I had, this rye IPA is Dripa. It's got it's I now that it's warmed up, it's getting more of that characteristic rye spice that you're looking for, that pepperiness.
Taking a little sip there.
Got to take a little sip here to kind of remind me what's going on. It's still very sweet, though. It's got that high alcohol malty sweetness to it, but it's got the balance of that ryeness too. So I mean, I think it's a very well put together, you know, beer, and this is good. You know, I'm kind of torn. I'm going to give this a 4. I think it's a real good beer. Definitely, like, it's a mellow rye, so if you want to introduce someone to rye, definitely an easy way to do it. You know, it's kind of big because it is a strong beer and stuff, so that may be offsetting to some people, but it's very drinkable. Like, I just want to drink this beer. It's good.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're saying you want to drink
something's brewed with the rye.
Yeah, but you know, it's not like the other ryes that I have are very rye-y beer. They got that strength to them. They got that cutting ripness that ryes have. This is mellower. It's smoother. It's a very classy rye.
Hmm.
So, definitely highly recommend it. Definitely check it out. Moving up to the Sweet 16.
We already know what you're going to give that one. Yeah.
Oh, man, this beer is just phenomenal. I don't. You guys knock it off half a point because, it's a sipper, blah, blah, blah. This beer is complex. It's great tasting.
For the
it's
record, full I'm flavored, sipping all 22 body. Ounces, bitch.
I mean, this is the hot chick in 10th grade that... You know, all the college guys are hitting on.
This is the chick in the overalls driving the ragtop cabriolet.
Yeah, you know, blasting her.
I don't
you know,
even know what that means.
It's
with the scrunchy ponytail.
Yeah, her blonde hair flying in the wind, her boobs shaking as she bounces over the bumps.
Dude, you're talking about a 10th grader here, dude.
Dude, this chick is full.
You're talking about a sophomore out. In high school.
Homegirl is filled out. That's my one word. Filled out.
Filled out.
That's what this beer is. I mean, it's damn near what you want to have. And you know, this is a great
for this thing. Somewhere.
Probably. Somehow.
We're gonna have to freaking go knock on everybody's door in the neighborhood now.
Say hi. I'm Mike.
In the podcast neighborhood.
I'm a podcast offender.
Filled out.
This is a great. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, this is a fantastic beer.
I'm so proud of you, Dave.
As far as the aging, though, it's very, very good as it is. With aging this beer, I think it will get very, very sweet. I think it'll have that... I think it would just take that aging to an excess. So I'm not sure... I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy like 3 or 4 more of these bottles. I think they're like $10 a bottle, too.
Really?
Were they? Wow. Or $5? I don't know. I bought like 6 beers and I spent $40.
I got
bucks.
A 22.
I can't remember. Yeah, mine might have been spend? $10. It was like $7.50 for my Rejuvenator. It might have been 9 or 10 for the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this is $10.49.
That's not bad.
$10.49. Hey, I got this at... I'll give the shout outs in a minute. But, this beer is phenomenal. This is easily a 5. Oh, going back to the... I remember now. We were talking about the aging. I think aging this for more than 2 years or more than a year, I think, is going to be too much. I think it could maybe mellow out a little bit. It'd be nice to have that alcoholiness kind of toned down a bit.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about.
But the sweetness, I think it would become overly sweet with aging. And that's what my biggest fear is with this. Because right now it's sweet as it is, and I think it's at a good level. And to go more, I think, would be too much. But phenomenal bill. Phenomenal beer. So, yeah, definitely a 5 and filled out.
Cool.
Watch out, college boys.
Shout outs.
I'm going to give my shout out to the best damn beer shop down in downtown San Diego. That's where I picked this up. They had both of these beers. I was able to pick up the Hebrew Bittersweet Lenny's in a single bottle rather than having to buy a 4-pack for $10. I got the single bottle. And I got this. I picked up a couple other beers and some other fun stuff to look forward to. So they always got a good selection.
Oh, yeah. We want to give a shout-out to Beer Coaster Charlie. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm going to give a shout-out to Beer Coaster Charlie as well. Thank you so much. You made the show possible, sir. And I want to give a shout-out to... Beer Day Quotes. And I want to give a shout-out to Abita Beer. Because they're following us. And Nebraska Brewing Company. Right. And L.A. Beer Hop. Sweet. And craft beer places. And Perfect Pour. And Inky Beer. And all kinds of places. I could just go on and on and on. Thank you for all my Twitter followers. I really do appreciate it.
I want to give a shout out to Rick from pintsforprostates.org. Thanks for the backwash. We will be in touch.
Yes, we will.
And I want to give a shout out to Utah Beers on Twitter. At Utah Beers. That's Wasatch and Squatters. Nice. They've been retweeting some of our stuff. And
gotta love the retweets.
Yeah, you can drink beer in Utah?
Yeah, Utah Beers. Check them out.
All right.
Well, wasn't it Utah here we go. 1933, Utah. Yes, Utah became the 36th and deciding state to ratify the 21st Amendment, ending prohibition. So take that. Take that. There's some freaking beer coaster knowledge dropped on you. Although it's really Google, not beer coasters.
Some nullification for your ass.
For your learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they became the deciding state to ratify the 21st Amendment.
And then they said, we'll do it, but nothing over 5%. Punks.
I'm sure that changed, over the years.
All right, cool. Alrighty.
I guess that's it, huh? I guess we're all done. I'm still sipping on my freaking jubilation here.
Yeah, me too.
I really wish I had someone here to drink this with me, because, there's no way I could finish this bottle.
I will shed a tear for you, Dave.
Yeah. Pour some out for the dead homies.
That's what you need to do. Walk out to the gutter in front of your house.
I probably got some people watching my Christmas lights, man. I don't know. What's that guy doing? Pouring out for the dead homies, yo.
I'm going to be like, oh, okay, cool.
Cool. Props. Get a fist bump,
Yep. To make you love.
Anyways,
I guess that's it, folks.
See you next week.
Yeah, just a reminder, all our listeners, this is Yo Show. We just drank it in it.
That's right. Cheers, folks.
Yeah.
Cheers.
This is podcast.
L'chaim.
Mazel tov.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
I'm more relevant, damn it.
That's a good get the girls effed up kind of a beer. Like, oh, look at this pomegranate beer. You're going to love this. Have two of them. Yeah.
Well, let's just say our commentary is not so kosher, okay?
This beer's dirty.
I'd rather drink than run. Is that what you're trying to say?
Say hi. I'm Mike. And, I'm a podcast offender.
What? Wow!
For the record, I'm sipping all 22 ounces, bitch.